You are listening to Processing Trauma Out Loud, conversations about trauma and healing from two women who are doing the work.
Hey everyone, it is Cher and Candace here with you today. And I have the privilege today of introducing our time together because I have asked Candace if we could talk together today about a very interesting opportunity that you had recently this week, bringing a presentation to a group called Faith at Work, where you talked about what is it like to deal with trauma that pops up in the workplace. I want to just have an opportunity to talk about this today and share with our listeners some of the things that you talked about, some of the things that you experienced as you went through that time, and just for you to have an opportunity to reflect on it with our listeners. Candace, welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome to the podcast. And yeah,
you're natural at that.
So tell us a little bit about what this presentation was all about.
Yeah, so I can say this because my client actually shared this publicly at this presentation that I was her coach. So I've been coaching just a wonderful lady for over a year now. And because of the results that she was seeing in her own life with how she was showing up and how she wanted to show up and the things that she's been working on to heal, this is a group that she's involved with that they look for speakers. Well, she put my name in the hat and they chose me. And I will say that when the invitation came, I knew to say yes. I also knew it would probably be hard, but I'm so passionate about what I believe in, that every single person in a position of influence and power needs to learn about what trauma is, what trauma does, and how we heal. And so that really is how I opened it. And I say that from such humility and personal experience that I didn't always know that. And I know that I hurt people because I didn't know that. I've been hurt because people didn't know that. So if we can all start with, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And can we say, can we learn what to do? And that's what I was there to talk about. Can we learn what to do?
So good and such a gift, I think. We've really mentioned on here before on the podcast that we want people in leadership positions to really gain an understanding of what trauma is and how do they deal with the person who is sitting in front of them that is struggling in some area. And that's what you got to do. What were a couple of the things that you talked about that felt especially meaning for you to have the opportunity to say and to bring this awareness to this group of people?
Well, they had asked to share a little bit of my own story and then kind of jump into a little bit of the subject matter. That felt interesting to me because I had 25 minutes. And as you know, Cher, in this space of trauma, there are so many nuances. So I had someone ask me a question. Well, I had probably five questions I wanted to ask her for the one question that she asked me to get a better understanding. But I noticed that there was a part of me that it felt nice that I was going to be able to share a little bit of my story from the perspective that I have now of understanding how developmental trauma impacted my life and the stories that I've held over five decades now. And it wasn't from a place of shame.
It was from a place of what?
It was from a place of confidence, clarity, humility, you know, gratitude,
yeah,
mercy.
Mm.
I wasn't angry at anyone,
yeah,
but I have some anger over the systems in our culture that we are saying, please, for the sake of lifting burdens off of people that they don't talk about them. So we've had some community suicides over the last few years that kind of the shocker ones where, oh my gosh, they were this, they were that, they were functioning. And we know that deep wounds of trauma can stay hidden for decades.
Yeah. And also that just because a person is in leadership in a business or in an institution, like even let's just say church, being in leadership does not mean that you are healed or healthy emotionally or in ways that enable you to be able to hold or contain the dysregulation of others or the ability to attune to others when they get dysregulated. Know that that is true. Here all around us and in all of these places where we show up, it might be at work, it might even be in the grocery store, it might be at church or whatever. There are people in leadership in those places who are not equipped to deal with the people around them who are in trauma.
Yeah. Well, because equipping to them is the accumulation of knowledge.
Yeah. Right.
I'll out myself. I accumulated a lot of knowledge, but yeah, because I had not received care by my wounds that were not seen, I had to have parts that were protecting them being seen to feel safe.
Yeah.
I could show up and give a good teaching.
Yeah.
I could not weep with those who were weeping authentically.
Yeah.
Because I had not even wept over my own wounds.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that that's such a great point, Candace, and both you and I, this is true. We were in positions of leadership long before we experienced the kind of healing that we know today. We were there with good intentions. We were there because we wanted to give or we wanted to offer as much as we knew to offer, but we were functioning a lot out of our own brokenness and we were in need of help, but we didn't know. We didn't even know what we needed. Yeah.
This isn't about placing judgment.
Yeah.
But I want to say it is a clarion call. Here's what I want to say. There is a difference between a pattern and kind of a normal reaction. We can have these dysregulations that it's a normal reaction to something. But when you begin to notice the patterns that play out over and over again, and they're going to do that in your closest relationships, and they're painful to you and probably the other person, this is data that you actually have unhealed wounds. This isn't, well, that's just the way life is. We have ups and downs. No. No, they're unhealed wounds. There's no threat in, like, if we can understand seeing that and believing that, doesn't have to feel like a threat. I want it to feel like just a kind invitation to say, oh yeah, this is the same problem that pops up in my closest relationships. And sometimes there's years that can go in between, mm-hmm. but there you start to see, oh yeah, there's a consistent pattern here.
Yeah. And so I'm imagining that among the people who are listening to this podcast are many people who are in some aspect of leadership. And if they are recognizing some of these patterns in their own lives, patterns of struggle in the ways that they show up in relationships or the ways that they relate to the people who even are the most meaningful to them, what would your invitation be to them? If they're saying, I am a leader and I do struggle and I don't know what to do with the people who are my employees, what would your invitation be to them, Candace?
I would say, of course you don't know what to do. It was never modeled for you.
Mm, yeah.
Right. You didn't learn what to do. You're not bad.
Yeah.
You know, you're not stupid.
Mm.
You just have to go back and learn what to do. And the way that you do that is to find someone, a coach, a therapist, a group that has done their own work.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, sometimes that can be hard.
Yeah.
And let them see you in these places and hear you and be with you.
Yeah.
Let your body begin to experience what is it like for you to name your deepest, darkest struggles.
Yeah.
And you and I both know that it's a step of faith because oftentimes we have tried to do that before
yeah.
and we got re-injured. But I want to say, well, you try again.
try again, and particularly find someone who is trauma informed. Like this is a real thing now. Our helping professions are becoming more aware of the need for our helpers, our providers, to be trauma informed, and this is just so key.
Yeah, and I want to point out somebody who I am very grateful for, and that's Dan Allender.
Yeah.
Dan Allender has gone before us and has taken hit after hit after hit. Not that Dan Allender's perfect. He needs people in his life too that can be with him. But I do recognize, I feel teary over this. And I wonder if it's because after I gave that talk that I knew I was supposed to do and I wanted to do, I was exhausted.
Yeah.
I felt my body paid a price for that. And I think I gained some more compassion for those who've gone before us and have been so misunderstood.
Yeah.
So judged.
Yeah. And I will just reiterate too, Dan Allender has had a huge impact on my life from the very beginning of my healing journey. I came across his book. I don't even know how I got it, but somebody gave me his book, and he has impacted our world in a very significant way. And yours in my life, very him, his training, his people who have really learned under his teaching. And so we are very grateful. Would like to ask you, as you reflect on giving the speech earlier this week, what is something that you brought? I'm asking you this for the moment. We did not premeditate this. What is a thought or a point that you made that you would not have been able to make a few years ago? What is something that you offered to these listeners that was impacting because you have done the work?
Well, I already shared a little bit about just being able to share a little bit of my own story without shame. I shared the idea, like I would have said maybe 5-6 years ago, oh, you can't take people further than you've gone. But I can say that now with a deep understanding that I had meaning, people who meant very well in my life.
Yeah.
But they just hadn't gone very far.
Right.
Or they hadn't gone as far as I needed someone to be able to go.
Right.
So that was something. And then also I will share this. This felt really significant to me. And I actually hadn't planned to go too far into this, and I didn't go too far. But when I showed up in the Pearl Story group, because I put your picture up there, it's the only time I got teary and emotional in the whole presentation when I saw your faces. Because I knew you were with me. I had never seen a group of women or been in a group of women who had rupture and repair.
Yeah.
And we still can have rupture and we have repair.
Yeah.
And that I can say with confidence now, it is not the rupture necessarily that is the biggest trauma. It's the no repair.
Yeah. Mm. So true, Candace. Yeah. Learning how to repair, how to bring repair after rupture is something that is so lacking in our society and so needy. We are so needy.
And even in the context of hurt in the workplace.
Yeah.
How many workplaces have employees walking around going through the motions to earn a paycheck, but are filled with so much resentfulness and anger because there's all these microaggressions and micro ruptures and there's just never real repair.
Right. And then the consumer feels that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Or the client or the congregation.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. One more question as we just kind of bring this section to a close, but what We're talking a lot about our purpose and calling. How do you feel that moving into this opportunity to bring this presentation to this group of people, how was this Candace showing up in her purpose and in her calling?
Historically, I thought that my purpose and calling kind of was more in a platform speaking type, you know, I've spoke quite a bit in the past, and realizing that it was from a, so when I was doing it, I had this really unhealed, wounded part that was desperately trying to prove that I was not bad or dangerous. And so if I can just get up there and teach what I know and talk about how I've changed or whatever, it would bring a little bit of soothing temporarily.
Yeah.
Whether my purpose and calling involves doing any more of what I did, and I'm going to just go ahead and be vulnerable and say, I have felt no need to do it again. Zero. Doesn't mean it was bad. Doesn't mean I wasn't grateful. But that part has experienced so much healing. It didn't even pop up. I just felt no need to prove anything. And yet if my purpose, I want my purpose and calling to still be able to teach and share and guide and nurture, but I have no need to do that in any specific way.
And so did you show up and teach and guide and encourage and nurture?
I don't know. You'll have to ask them.
I know. I know the answer, Candace. I saw you moving in your calling as you went toward this. I really did. It wasn't I never once sensed a striving or a performing. It was with seriousness of the desire to bring something to this group of people that can change their lives and their coworkers and the world, mm-hmm. as they recognize that trauma is something that we can learn about and that we can grow in and that we can become healed from. That's what I saw. I saw you very much functioning within your calling, and it was beautiful to watch you go through this mm-hmm. process, both the preparation and then to see you afterwards and to see the exhaustion from that you brought so much, and that, like you said, that there was a cost to showing up the way that you did and being vulnerable and risking the exposure and sharing your heart and sharing the things that you have learned and experienced with others and in a way that can just be so meaningful. So yeah, well done, friend.
Yeah. Thank you, Cher. I received that. And I think I mentioned to you the other day, I am grateful for the opportunity, and I have to slow down because, you know, right now I'm just like, okay, maybe once a year or every 10 years. I also recognize, here's the thing, Cher. I pray that a few burdens were lifted.
Yeah.
I pray that there was some burdens lifted.
Yeah.
And if that is the case, it was worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, part of your calling is welcoming people, inviting people into this space and welcoming them as they are. Mm-hmm. And although I wasn't there, I didn't get to hear the presentation. I know that that is what the listeners felt and heard. I know that that is who you are. And that is what you brought. And so I'm excited to hear as time goes on and you get little glimpses of feedback and maybe hear some stories eventually about how this presentation made a difference in some people's lives.
Yeah, thank you. I've had a few trickle in and I am very grateful for that. And I will just say I can bring this message because I've experienced being invited into places just as I am.
Yeah. You are, and you are loved right there. So good to be with you. Yeah. Thanks for sharing some of this with us, Candace. Really good to hear.
Yeah. And thanks for doing it.
Yeah. My pleasure. Okay. Truly. Love you, friend.
Love you too.
Thank you for listening to Processing Trauma Out Loud. Make sure to check out the show notes for links to suggested resources and social media. Like, subscribe, and follow to keep up with our weekly content. And if you don't mind, take a moment to rate and review us. Your feedback is extremely valuable and contributes to the success of this podcast. One last thing. If you have found this podcast helpful in any way, or if you have questions on how to take the next steps on your healing journey, please reach out to us via email at candacesher@gmail.com. That's candacesher@gmail.com. Our sound engineer is Jeremiah Jones of Auditstory LLC. We welcome you to join us for more conversations soon. Take care.